Good morning, everybody. That's better. I'm here. All right. Well, I'm just rejoicing that I had the opportunity to share, and I'm going to share on communion, and then we're going to take communion. But this is a teaching on communion. I am so thrilled that God brought me into this. I want to say something. This is in Revelation, I think it's 19:10. Is that what it is? The testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And that is very powerful. So I'm going to give a little testimony of why I'm teaching this right now. Because before camp, the Lord had said to me, I want you to take communion up there. And I thought, okay, that's okay with me. And so I was teaching six times, and so I thought, well, I'm going to teach on communion, you know. And so I thought I was going to do it the sixth time. And 15 minutes before Friday night service, the Lord said, no, you're going to do it tonight. And so I did. And so this is the testimony of what Jesus did, and I am prophesying that he will do it again. Okay? So in the midst of my teaching, boy, that light is horrible. Sorry. I don't know if it's probably my glasses. In the midst of my teaching, the presence of God started falling. Nobody had to lay hands on anybody. And chains were being broken, and lives were already being changed. So I'm expecting great things. Same Holy Spirit. I came back so excited. I told the pastor, nearly knocked him over in the parking lot, and said, you should have seen it. This communion thing was crazy. I never saw anything like it in my life, right? I hit him. I hit him in the chest. And I said, I'm so excited, I can hardly stand it. So this is where we're going to go today. So we're going to start in John chapter 6. This is stuff you've heard, and then there's going to be stuff that you have heard, but you didn't receive it like we should receive it. I was reading about what I was supposed to do, and I thought, man, this is really interesting, Lord. I've never heard it taught like this. And I just kept going and kept going. And so, but the fun part was after we got home, I heard a sermon about 5 days later, and Miss Tracy sent me a website of a conference that was going on up north, that they were having a conference on the revival of communion, correct? And I went, oh, yes, I hear from God. This is so exciting for me. So, I mean, really, I know that sounds weird, but, you know, it is exciting. And I'm so thrilled that God can use me, and he's interested in this little church here. He is. He's got great things for us. So John 6, 53 through 58, it says, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life and will raise up in the last day. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in him. So, people didn't want to hear that when Jesus said it. Actually, I'm sure they thought it was gross. You know, like, what's he talking about? A lot of people left. They didn't even, you know, the disciples even weren't sure what's going on, but they had no place to go. But what I've heard all the preaching on abiding in me and I abiding in you and you're part of the branch and, you know, all that. But I never connected it with communion. When you partake of his body and his blood, I abide in you and you abide in me. That is huge. partaking of the blood covenant of Christ, we are joined to him, receiving the benefits of his life. When he lives in me, and I am in him, that's all we need. I mean, that's amazing to me, that he is in me. That is over the top for me to understand. Okay, so he, Jesus, was the covenant sacrifice and God's provision for our sustenance, our provision for our sustenance. When we feed on him through faith, we become partakers of the divine nature, which is eternal life. We partake of his nature. He's in us. Now, I can't explain it, but if he's in me and I am in him, you should not be able to tell the difference. You should not be able to tell the difference. I should look like him, act like him, talk like him, move like him, breathe like him. If he is in me, I mean, they say after people have been married a long time, they start looking like each other. Or they certainly act like each other. They do. I mean, is that not true? Yeah, the longer you... Valerie's going, no, not me. Sorry, Randy. No, but it is true. You just become one flesh. You think alike and, you know, in important ways. And so I think that's really important for us to get a hold of. So through the Holy Spirit, through his works, we receive his life and partake of his promises. We partake of his promises. In taking communion, that's what we're doing every time, every time. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 31, it says, The Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took, I'm going to say the body instead of the bread, okay? He took the body and he broke it and he gave it to them and he gave thanks. And he said, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup in the New Testament, the new covenant, a better covenant, in my blood, and this you do as often as you do remember me. Now go down to verse 27. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. In other words, they've gone on to glory. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So if you think about, if you take it in an unworthy manner, it could be making light of it, or, yeah, I do this all the time, or you're not even thinking about it, you're thinking about going to lunch. I mean, you could be thinking of a million things. Be careless, that's careless, taking it. Not discerning is what struck me. Not discerning. And I looked at that and I thought, for me, if we don't discern his body and his blood, we are not seeing all that he paid for. We know he paid for our salvation. We got that down pat. But what about the rest of it? He paid for it all. And I think that's where we're not discerning, receiving, and learning how to walk in it. That's what it meant for me, okay? Yes, we have to make things right in our heart, our attitudes, sin, unforgiveness. But discerning his body and his blood, I think, is way more important than we have made it. When Jesus died and he resurrected, our sins were gone. Salvation, we recognize. But when he died, he restored us to all things. Once we're born again, he restored us to all things. Everything that Adam and Eve gave away, he took it back. Everything they lost, we can have. Colossians 2:15 says, God disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them. He took back all the authority and the power and turned it around and gave it to the body of Christ. That is you and me. That is us. It says in Matthew 10:28, Jesus said to them, you go, you heal the sick, you raise the dead, you cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So we received our salvation, but if we don't discern everything else, hi, my cousin just walked in, sorry. If we don't receive everything else, then we have not discerned his body. We have not discerned his blood. You can't give something you don't understand that you have. So, a lot of people, they're really good at, you know, telling people about Jesus, and they need to hear about Jesus, but they need to see the rest of it. If I freely received salvation, I should freely give it. If I freely receive healing in my body, I should be given that away. If I receive deliverance, I should be given that away. I should be setting people free. I should be healing the sick. I should be raising the dead. If we've received it, we should give it. Does that make sense? Okay. Isaiah 53, let's see. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Really became a mess when I would sit down and start looking at the blood and the body in my life, period. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to be who God made me to be. I'm going to act like him. I'm going to talk like him. I'm going to speak over people like he did. I'm not going to let anything go. Okay? All right. His body was broken, his blood was poured out, not just on the cross. It started in Gethsemane. And as he prayed, he was in such agony that it said that he bled like blood clots of sweat and it dropped to the ground. It started in Gethsemane. They took him to the courts of Pilate, and they whipped him. They beat him. He bled. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and he bled. And he bled, and he bled. They said he was not even recognizable as a man when they got through. Then he picked up the cross, and he started through the city, hauling that cross, blood pouring all the way to the cross, all over the city streets. He literally poured out his blood for you and I. The blood of Jesus is so powerful that one drop of his blood is more than enough. More than enough for any need, any situation, any life. One drop of his blood is more than enough. In Revelations 12:11, it says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It is really important to testify of everything that he does for you. It is. Because as we testify, he'll do it again and again and again. And if you wonder why nothing's happening in your life, start testifying of what he did yesterday, what he did last week, what he did 3 months ago. Open your mouth. How long have you been a Christian? If you've been a Christian for 1 week, you have something to testify up. You're not going to hell. You're born again. You're living for Jesus. You are full of him. We have to testify of what he does. Ephesians 1:7 says that we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. His blood is very powerful. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Romans 5:9 says, we have been justified by the blood. Justified by the blood. It's like sitting in a courtroom, and they're saying all these things, and you're saying not guilty. Not, you know. So when you're being accused from Satan, I plead the blood. I am not guilty. I plead the blood. I am not guilty. The blood is more than enough. Doesn't matter if you're standing in the courts of heaven or on the earth declaring it. I am not guilty. I am free. The blood of Jesus, I plead his blood over me. I could never figure that out when I was a little girl. All the old people would pray, I bleed the blood, plead the blood. And I learned that years ago. Oh, that's what that is. It's declaring the blood. Anybody who's my age and you were in church, you heard that term over and over. I plead the blood of Jesus. Yes, it's very important. I say it all the time. Pray it over my car, pray it over myself, my children, the people here, continually. The blood is powerful. It's very powerful. Isaiah 61:10 says this, I will rejoice. He has clothed me with a garment of salvation and covered me with a robe of righteousness. Those are the things the blood does. Hebrews 13:12 says, Jesus sanctified us with his own blood. It's interesting when you look at the story of the Exodus, when Moses took all the people out of Israel. They were told exactly what to do. They were to get in their houses because the death angel was coming by. So they took hyssop, stem of bush or whatever it was, and they put it over the doorpost. And if they were inside the house, the death angel passed over them. The blood of Jesus covered that household. I have covered my children, even as they've been married, and grandchildren, because they are still of my household. And I pray the blood of Jesus over them also. It's very powerful. And it's interesting because even the people, the Bible will tell you if you read the story, that even the people who weren't Jews If they did that, they were saved. Yeah. You got a problem? Come to my house. The presence is there. It'll be okay. I'm serious. That's how powerful it is. It's amazing to me. So it's when they left, when the Jews left, they packed up after they'd done that. They got ready to go. They loaded up their wagons, their donkeys, their animals, and all those people. And the Bible says that they were told to go get the silver and gold from all their neighbors. Provision. They had provision. Jesus told them to go get it. Go get it. Provision comes through the blood. It does. Peace comes through the blood. Everything that we have comes through the blood. I know there's people who have a problem with wealth. For Christians, it's like, who's going to send out the missionaries? Who's going to support the churches? And why in the world would Jesus say the wealth of the sinners laid up for the righteous? Think about that one. It's a real thing. We cannot just go around and have our heads in the ground. We have to have finances to do things God's way in this country and in this world. Our prayers work, but we got to be walking in everything that Jesus provided. Okay. So, let's see, where am I? In the Old Testament, the priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. So it's interesting to me that they would sprinkle, I think it's seven times. I didn't look it up. It was early in the morning. I didn't look it up. I think they, from the veil to the mercy seat, they sprinkled the blood seven times. And then it went in front of the mercy seat. Seven times. Probably praying all the way that they wouldn't drop dead. I mean, I don't know, but they did it seven times. I do know that. But we, in the new covenant, we can come boldly before the throne of God. We can come boldly into his presence. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can do that anytime, all day long. We don't have to go find a special place. Is all you have to do is get before him. The first miracle Jesus did was what? The water turned into wine. I nearly smacked myself. And it was a wedding that he was at. So he was at a wedding, and his mother told him, "They're out of wine. This is not my time." And she says to the servants, "Just do whatever he tells you to do." And so he did, and he turned the water into wine. So I'm going to say a couple things about that. He was at a wedding. His blood on the cross, when they poked his side, came out water and blood. Wine represents the blood. Water and blood on the cross came out. He was at a wedding. When we get born again, we are his bride. At the cross, we become his bride. I mean, that was crazy for me. I loved that. All right. If we discern all Jesus paid for, our lives will radically change. They have to. If they don't, you're not looking clearly. I think this has been a veil over our eyes for a long time. If we discern all that Jesus paid for, our lives will radically change. We will do what Jesus did. We serve a limitless God. Communion brings salvation, healing, peace, joy, provision, deliverance, you name it. It's not just salvation. He paid the price for all of it. The kingdom should come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it says, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember in John 6:56, I said that when he abides in us and we abide in him, that's so important. If you understand that and realize that everything he is in you, there are no limits for a child of God who's born again and spirit-filled. There are no limits. None. All limits are off. Just take the lid off. Then you might act as crazy as I do. I don't know. I'm getting crazier, though. So when it says that when we come to the communion table, we are to remember him. Okay, so I don't know. Through the years coming to communion, yes, I thought about, you know, how he died and how he saved me from my sins and he was tortured. But then I thought of something and I thought, you know, when we go to a memorial, how many people have gone to a memorial or a celebration of life for someone who's died? Everybody in the room, I'm sure. Okay, so when you went, did you sit and think or talk about how they died? Nope. We talked about how they lived. We talked about who they were to us, who they will always be to us, not how they died. And the things that they did that were wonderful, you want to do. Oh, I want to be like that. You know, they did this so great. I want to do that. We remember what Jesus did. 3 years. He did so much they couldn't even write it in all the books. I mean, that is just overwhelming for me to even try to think about that. So for me, communion has become weightier. It's become heavier on me. Not a heaviness, it's just weightier. It means so much more than it ever has before. It carries his presence. It's life-changing. And his presence is the greatest treasure that I have. It is the greatest treasure that I have. To think that he abides in me, that's really overwhelming. The amazing, mighty God, full of all that power and all that glory, he wants to abide in me. He wants me to abide in him. That's what he's expecting because that's what he paid for. If someone paid for something for you and the gifts are over here, if you don't go pick them up, they're going to go, I paid for those. Why don't they get them? Why did they take one? Why did they only take two? He paid it all. We're going to take communion today, but it's going to be different. So We're not going to be taking communion and seeing the bread and the juice. But we're going to see his body and his blood. That's what we're going to see. Because that's what it is. In Matthew 10:4, it says, whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, he will receive a righteous man's reward. I heard a pastor say this. So if you receive juice in the name of juice, or a cracker or bread in the name of cracker or bread, I know that's silly, but think about it. You're going to get that reward? No, thank you. It's going to be the body and the blood. That's it. It's not a symbol. Jesus didn't say, this is a symbol. He said, you are going to eat of my body and drink of my blood. I know it sounds strange, but we have to receive. It's like, okay, so when the Bible talks about we honor, you know, a prophet, or we honor a speaker, or we honor, you know, if we don't honor that blood and that body of Jesus Christ and see it that way and all that he paid for, to me, we're not honoring. I wasn't honoring. I thought I was doing good all these years until I got through this, and I decided I wasn't doing good at all. And it's something we need to get a hold of. It's amazing. His body was broken, so you don't have to be broken. If you're physically broken, if you have relationships that are broken, if your finances are broken, it doesn't matter. His body was broken, so we did not have to be broken in any way. In any way. His blood was poured out to cover everything that we could ever need. We have the opportunity to have constant fellowship with him. Constant fellowship with him. His life is in us. He paid for it so we could walk in the kingdom as he did. So we could walk in the kingdom as he did. When we do what he did, when we live like he lived, it's going to change our world and the world around us. Because the world around us is absolutely hopeless. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to the radio. I don't mean I never watch TV, but I don't watch the news. No. I pray, but the world is so broken and they are so hopeless. But if they see the church changing, because we are going to recognize his body and his blood and all that he paid for is ours, that takes it right back to dominion that God gave to Adam and Eve. He gave them complete dominion and they gave it away. So when Jesus came, he paid for it all, and it says that he went down and he made a spectacle of the principalities and powers, and he took back the keys to the kingdom, and he turned around and he handed it to the body of Christ. That is you and I. So when the world sees that the church is starting to look different, they're going to be running to us because we have the answers. I don't care. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care who you don't vote for. God is the only one that has the answers for this mess. When they see the church coming to the place where we are supposed to be, they will be running to the church to get their needs met. Because our needs are met. Because they see that we walk around in joy and we're not depressed and we're not coming unglued over every little thing. It doesn't take much to get people in a dither anymore. It's like something very little happens. Like, my gosh, you know, their life must be falling apart. And it is. It is. They can't help it. They have no hope. We have the hope. We carry the hope. He's in us. He's in us. That's very powerful. We need to recognize it. We need to hang on to it. And I'm going to say something. Pastor said that this is the year of the divine design. Well, I have news for you. The divine design is taking our dominion back and bringing Eden, heaven on earth, no matter where we go and what we're doing. That we were divinely made to worship him and walk with him and do everything that he created us. In the garden, they didn't have to worry about food. It was already there when they got there. They didn't have to worry about anything. It was already there when they got there. When you come to the cross, it's already there when I got there. It's very different thinking. Why would the people come to the church when we might look like we're as big a mess as they are? We can't look like that. We can't be like that. We have to be Jesus here. We have to be Jesus here. If you do this, you will see the salvation of God in every area of your life. He will. He comes through. He comes through every time. You do not want to miss out. Wherever we are lacking, it can stop today. It can stop today. It's a choice. It's a choice. You can stay there feeling bad, feeling sorry for ourselves, or whatever it is we do, or you can get out of it and receive what he has for you today. It will change your lives. I don't know how many kids are here that were at camp, but they would all tell you communion changed your lives. Right? Yeah. After taking it six times in 4 days, yeah. It sank from our heads down into our spirits. So it's a choice. And so today as we take communion, I don't know how the best way is to do this. I do not want you to take the bread and stick the whole thing in your mouth. It's just a little thing, okay? I want you to break it. Break it. And then when we then put it into your mouth, and then we'll take the blood. We're taking the body and the blood. And we're going to pray over that. And I'm going to pray that you have eyes to see in the spirit what's happening today for you. Okay? So I don't know, do you want to, I think it's better if, do you want to have them come get it or set? I would prefer that they come get it because this is my thoughts. If you want it bad enough, you'll get up here and get it. If you cannot do it, someone will get it to you. I have no problem with that. But I'm just saying sometimes we get so comfortable where we're at. We're done being comfortable in the body of Christ. It's time to be Jesus, okay? So I'll let Pastor and Louise and whoever else, oh, Jake, whoever else, thank you. And they're going to start worshiping. You can stand up. We'll start worshiping. And we'll give instructions as we go. And we're not done because when we're done taking communion, we will pray over anyone or everyone today. Mm-hmm. whatever your need is, that you will be able to see clearly. So if you want to start coming up and getting your communion, going back to your seat, and I'm just going to ask that you don't get into conversations. Don't take it unworthy. Discern what we are doing here. We're going to take communion together. What are you going to sing? Where are you? What are you going to sing? I'll stop.